We want to thank you today for joining us at Truth Chapel's podcast. I pray this word would bring you life. I pray that it would edify you, encourage you, and enlighten you. If you have a moment, please subscribe and leave us a review. We will be so grateful. God bless, and let this word speak to your heart. For this word today, it will encourage you, it will challenge you, and in Jesus' name, it will change you. Amen. And the lady that's coming, she needs no introduction. She's no stranger here at Truth Chapel. And I know that the last couple of weeks, she has labored over this word to bring something that she feels from the Spirit that God wants to speak to our mothers today. And really, this is a word for the whole church. And I want her to come, and I want her to take her liberty. Amanda, come and speak what the Lord has laid on your heart. Put your hands together for Sister Chavis.
Well, praise the Lord. I'll tell you what I told the first service this morning. I've been asking the Lord for months, God, just help me not to get in my nerves. Help me not to be nervous today, because, you know, I can get up here every Sunday with Pastor and greet you and tell you all the announcements going on. And I really, very rarely anymore do I get nervous at that point. But this is a little bit different today. I feel like what I got to say today is a little bit more important than any greeting or any announcement that I can give you. But I do feel like the Lord has given me a word, and he gave it to me probably a couple months ago, and I just kind of tucked it away. I said, okay, Lord, just help me to deliver this how you'd have me deliver it. So I know the Lord is going to help me. He helped me in the 9 o'clock service, and I know he's going to help me now. But I do want to give honor to all the mothers in the room today and all the mothers that are not in the room today. I honor my mother. She was actually here for the 9 o'clock service. She's my whole family was here, my brother and his wife and girls, and my dad was here because it's been a special weekend, really busy weekend, but our Sydney Dawn graduated on Friday evening. So we've really just been partying all weekend long. But it's been a great weekend, and I do honor my mom today. I'm thankful for a good mother, thankful for a good mother-in-law. I've got a very rich heritage, and I don't take that for granted. Also, real quick, I want to honor a special mother here today, Sister Denise Harris. We love you so much. Sister Denise is over our ladies' ministries here. And she's such a blessing, to me. She's such an incredible support to me. And she does everything that she does with excellence. And we honor you today, Sister Denise. But I'm not going to keep you long. So very quickly, if you will go with me to Exodus chapter 2. And if you don't have your Bible with you today, it's okay. We got it on the screen for you. Welcome to all our guests. I want to say a special shout out to Sister Olga's family is in town this week. And these are some special people to us. We've known most of them for many years now. We're so proud of Jamie. Jamie graduated from nursing school and she did such an excellent job leading us in worship. We've got so many graduates that we're so proud of. But Exodus chapter 2. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And when the woman conceived and bare a son, when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. So this morning, I want to talk to you for a few moments on this subject. When she could no longer hide him. when she could no longer hide him. Will you pray with me this morning? Lord, I love you so much, God. I'm so grateful to stand here today before your people, God. We're so thankful for your presence that's so strong in this place, God. Thank you, Lord, for meeting our every need today. God, I pray that you would touch us this morning. God, touch me as I bring your word. God, touch our hearts to receive what you have for us today. And we will be so careful, God, to give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. So, as we're reading the book of Exodus, it begins like with the tribes of Israel on the scene. If you finish out the book of Genesis, you know, you've read all about the sons of Jacob, and we've read about Joseph and his coat of many colors and how his brothers hated him and they sold him into slavery. But he found favor with Pharaoh and was put in the highest ranking position in Egypt, right beneath Pharaoh. But now that season has passed, and Joseph has died. But in verse 7 of chapter 1, it says, "But the Israelites were exceedingly fruitful. They multiplied greatly, increased in numbers, and became so numerous that the land was filled with them. Then a new king to whom Joseph meant nothing." He didn't know about Joseph. He didn't know Joseph and all the influence that he had and the position that he carried. He knew nothing about Joseph. This new king came into power in Egypt. And in verse 9, it says, "Look," he says to his people, "the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country." So we see here that we have a new king that is really intimidated by the Israelites. The Israelites have grown to be such a powerhouse in the land of Egypt. And he says, "Hey, we got to do something about these people. We've got to take care of these people because they are a threat to us." Let me stop right here this morning and say, the enemy is always thinking ahead. He's trying to mess up your future. It says, Pharaoh says, they will become even more numerous. What the devil is doing right now in your life, if he's got his hands all up in your life right now, it's not really about this present moment. It's really more about your future. Mothers, hear me out today. He's wanting to get you distracted now, so that he can mess with your children and you won't even realize it. You'll never even notice it until after the fact. The devil is afraid of your future, so he attacks your now. And if you're sitting in this room today and the devil is attacking you and he's been attacking you, you need to know today that you must have a very bright future, or he wouldn't even try to mess with you. So in verse 11, it says, "They put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Ramesses as store cities for Pharaoh." But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. So today, don't give up when it gets hard. He's multiplying you today. It's not worth walking away. Just hang on when it gets hard, because he is multiplying you. You are broken today to be blessed. You are divided today to be multiplied. You are wounded today to win, and you are crushed today to conquer. That is the Lord's plan, not the enemy's plan. So, Pharaoh came up with a plan. Skipping down to verse 15 in chapter 1, it says, the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shiprah and Puah, when you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it's a girl, it's okay. Let the girls live. Let me stop right here and say this. Mothers in the house today, if you have a son, you need to be on alert. You need to be on high alert today because the enemy has targeted our boys from the beginning of time. Do you hear me this morning? He has targeted our sons from the beginning of time, and we see it right here in the scripture. So be on high alert, moms. The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do, and they let the boys live. The king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, why have you done this? Why did you not follow my orders? Why have you let the boys live? And the midwives answered Pharaoh, Hebrew women are not, they're just not like the Egyptian women. They are vigorous and they give birth before we can even get there. Before we can even arrive. This reminds me of a message that Pastor preached a couple weeks ago, that maybe these Hebrew boys, maybe they were built different. Do you think so? Maybe they were built different. So in verse 20, so God was kind to the midwives and increased, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. So Pharaoh said, okay, that plan didn't work, so I'm gonna make a new plan. Don't you know this, just like the enemy. He tries to tempt us with one thing, and he says, oh, you know, that ain't gonna work. That didn't work, so let me think of something else. He's always right there. And then Pharaoh gave this order to his people. Every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile. But let every girl live. The devil today has a plan for our kids. Do you believe that? He has a plan for our kids. The tactic of the enemy back then is the same as it is today, to destroy our children, to destroy our future. But we today will not be ignorant of his devices. Can I get an amen? We will not be ignorant of his tactics this morning. If we go back to what we read in the beginning, chapter 2, verse 2, our story, it says that when Moses' mother saw him, she knew that he was a special child, so she hid him. Moms, I want to encourage you today to take every advantage of the season that you have to hide your kids. Mothers of small babies this morning, I know it may be hard. I know you're pulling your hair out. I know sometimes you want to pack them up and ship them off somewhere. But hang on today. Take advantage of these hiding years because they pass oh so quickly. You won't always be able to hide them. So don't miss these valuable years. Don't let your mind becoming distracted. Don't let your phone get more attention than your children do. We have to be alert today. So Jochebed, the mother of Moses, Jochebed, I'm sure that during this time of hiding, she experienced many sleepless nights with Moses. I can imagine her sleeping so lightly that just listening for her baby's cry in order to get to him quickly and soothe him and quiet him so that Pharaoh's men wouldn't hear him and come take him away. I'm sure that she sat awake nursing her baby in the night, and she would rack her brain on how she might save this special child that God had given her. She knew that her time was running out and that there would come a point where she could not keep him hid any longer. And then what? Moses' mother also came up with a plan. Just like Pharaoh had devised his plan, Jochebed said, okay, I got to get my act together. What's my plan? Do you know your plan today, Mom? Are you thinking ahead? What is your strategy this morning? After she knew that she could no longer keep him hid, in verse 3, it says she got a basket. And in the King James Version, it says she took him an ark. If you know much about the Bible this morning, you know someone else that had an ark. We know of Noah, who worked tirelessly and built an ark. And this ark kept his family safe when the rains came and when the rest of the world was destroyed. Noah was able to save his family. So Jochebed, she has this basket, and she just didn't put him in this basket and hope for the best. The Bible says she waterproofed it with tar and pitch, and she did it on the inside, and she did it on the out, the inside and the outside. Your children today need a balance of inside and outside. You can't just have them looking perfect on the outside and not be concerned about their inside. And you can't just be concerned about their inside and not help them with their outside. Amen? Our children need an inside-outside walk with God. Inside the church and outside the church. Inside the school and outside the school. Inside the job and inside their relationships and outside. They need to have an inside and an outside relationship with the Lord. But this morning, the question is, what example have you set for them? We can't expect our kids to have an inside-outside walk with God if they don't see it in us. If you are one way here when you come to the house of the Lord, and you're another way at home, or you're another way on vacation, or you're another way up in Walmart, we can't be hot or cold. We have to set an example. The protection from the elements came for Moses, came from a careful mother that spent time working on the inside and the outside. It says she laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. She was strategic where she laid it. She was aware of her surroundings. She had been paying attention to what was going on around her. She knew that this was a place that Pharaoh's daughter came to bathe. She was intentional. She was alert. But because she was strategic and intentional with Moses, sure enough, one day, that day, Pharaoh's daughter came to bathe. Verse number 5, it says, then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank, and she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This was one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Now, when Pharaoh's daughter laid eyes on Moses and realized that he was a Hebrew baby, she could have very easily followed Pharaoh's orders, her father's instructions, and threw him in the Nile. But the Bible says she felt sorry for him and had compassion. She too must have saw in Moses what his mother saw. She knew that Moses was special and God used her. So the word says, Moses' sister was standing by to see what would happen to him. Then this sister stepped in and said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? And she said, yes, go. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby, her own baby, and nursed him. The strategic planning of an intentional mother put the baby back in her own hands, and the enemy paid for it. Amen? He paid her to do it. So this morning, we cannot sit around and hope that our babies don't get hurt, hope that they don't fall away from God, that they get taken away by the world. Moms, we got to get to planning. We got to get to praying. We got to get to preparing. When we cannot hide them any longer, we better have had a plan in place. When we can no longer hide them, the planning and prayers and preparation is what is going to keep them. Amen? We must not leave this up to just hoping and wishing. We got to get to work and we got to start praying and preparing. This world wants our babies, and we won't be able to be with them every moment of every day and protect them from the evil all around them. But we can get to work now preparing and planning and praying for them. In verse number 10, it says, when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. So it's believed in this time, if you go back in history and you do your research, historians say that Moses was about 8 years old when his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter. So from the time that Moses was born until he was given back to Pharaoh's daughter, I'm sure Jochebed was on a mission. Jochebed's planning couldn't keep him with her forever, but it allowed her to influence him forever. Mamas, hear me today, that your influence can keep them where your presence cannot go. Your influence can keep them. Paul told Timothy this, I see, Timothy, I see your mama's faith in you. She wasn't there, but her influence was there. Let me give a shout out today to all the mamas that may not still be here with us this morning, but their influence is still here. Amen? Does anyone have a testimony today that, you know what, my mama's not here today, but her influence is still on my life today? Does anybody have that testimony this morning? Because she influenced me till she could no longer hide me. Countless times throughout the day, I'm sure she was reminding Moses every day who Moses was. She knew there would come a time when she could no longer shield him. She could no longer hide him. And she knew that one day he would be immersed in a society where he would need to be strong and know who God made him to be. She knew the clock was ticking, and she was focused, and she was determined, and she was not distracted. She knew the clock was ticking, and she only had a short amount of time. That is where we're at today, mamas. We have to wake up and realize that our time is running out. We have a job to do. One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his people were, and he watched them at their hard labor. So now we see Moses as a grown man. He's probably about 40 years old right now. He's living in Pharaoh's house. He's surrounded by Egyptians. He has Egyptian maids. He has Egyptian cooks. He has Egyptian teachers. He has Egyptian doctors and rulers. But Moses remembered who his people were. Because of his mother's influence, because his mother was constantly reminding him, Moses, you're not an Egyptian. You got to remember when you're surrounded, you got to remember that you're not one of them. Their ways are not your ways. You are a Hebrew, Moses, and don't forget it. It says in verse 11, he went out to check on his own people. And if you read on about Moses, you'll see that day he went out to check on his people and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. And it infuriated him so much that he killed this Egyptian and he hid him. And then Pharaoh heard about what Moses had done. And Pharaoh sought to kill him. Reading this story a couple weeks ago, something really stood out to me. And I asked my husband about this. You know, Pharaoh, we know Pharaoh is raised, or Moses is raised by Pharaoh's daughter. That means that this Pharaoh that sought to kill Moses could have been Moses' grandfather. He could have been his cousin, maybe, whoever was in the line of Pharaohship. But he was some sort of relative to Moses. I'll say this, don't get comfortable in the enemy's house. Don't get comfortable in this wicked society. Don't get desensitized to what's right and what's wrong. Don't get comfortable in the enemy's house, and don't forget that the fact that the enemy does not like you. He does not like you, and he hates you, and he wants to take you out. Mamas, daddies, and kids in the room today, don't forget that this world, this society, this culture that we're living in, this is not our home today. We can't get comfortable here. Moses didn't get comfortable in that Egyptian society. He remembered who he belonged to. The words of Moses' mother rang in his ears. Moses, you are not an Egyptian. You're in Hebrew. Don't forget it, Moses. Don't get too comfortable in Pharaoh's house. So like Jochebed, moms, today we can only hide them for so long. You can stand with me this morning. I'm almost finished. We can only hide them for so long. It's such a short window where we can protect and shield them. At some point, they're going to be introduced to Pharaoh's house. And at some point, they're going to be surrounded by the influence of a very harsh, ungodly world. What are you doing today to ensure that they can handle that pressure? What does your basket look like today? Have you pitched it on the inside, and have you pitched it on the outside? Have you been diligent? Have you been diligent with it? What's your influence on them look like, whether they are young or old? Let me say this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you didn't really have a mama that influenced you in the best of ways. You didn't have that. You can be that mama today to your children. You have a lot of God. Maybe you didn't have that upbringing. But you know what? There's a lot of godly elders in here, a lot of godly mothers in here that would be so happy to take you under their wing and teach you how to influence your children in the right way. So what does your basket look like today? Whether they're young today, whether your kids are young or old, do they see you one way when you come to church and another way when you're at home? You got to pitch it on the inside and on the outside. Do they see you being faithful to the house of God? Or really, you just come when you feel like it? Do they know that faithfulness is a priority to you? Because this is the reality. What you deem optional, they will eventually deem unnecessary. Do you hear me this morning? I want you to think about it. The things that are just optional for you in your walk with God that should be necessary, one day they're going to be unnecessary to your children. They're not going to be a priority for your children. If being consistent and faithful is optional to you, it'll be unnecessary to them. Today, standing here as a mother of three wonderful, godly children, I'm so grateful this morning for my kids, and I honor them today. I want my kids to know that this life that I'm living, living for God, it is not optional for me. There's no other option. There's not an A option, a B option, a C option. There are no other options. Living for God is who I am. There is no other way for me. There is no exit ramp off of this journey for Mama. My mind is made up, and I want my kids to know it. There is no exit ramp for Mama. This is my life. You know what my exit ramp is? I told the first service this morning. Do you know what my exit ramp looks like? I'll tell you today what it looks like, because there's only one. I said there's no exit ramps, but there is one. It has gates that are made of pearls. It has walls that are made of jasper. My exit ramp has streets that are made of pure gold. That's what my exit ramp looks like today. That's what I want their exit ramp to look like when they're engulfed in the world, when they've got decisions and choices to make. I want it to there only to be one option. Mama, you taught me how to live for God. Mama, you taught me what was important in life. Moses could have easily adapted to that Egyptian culture, and he could have been very successful in that culture. He could have been high ranking and respected. He could have been so wealthy and such a great ruler in the Egyptian culture. But what profiteth a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? Because he didn't remember who he was. But because he had a mother that poured into him during those hiding years, until she could no longer hide him. Because he had a faithful mama that took her job seriously, God raised up a deliverer for his people. You hear me this morning? Because his mom was faithful and she was so intentional, God raised up a deliverer to deliver his people out of bondage. Mom, that's your responsibility today. We can't go on autopilot. We need to just take that out of the system. There is no autopilot in mothering if you want to raise a kid that keeps their head on straight and stays on the straight and narrow. We have to be intentional. We have to be focused. We have to have a plan. We got to pitch it on the inside and on the outside and in the end. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that they should go. And if you train them up when they are old, they're going to remember, you know what? My mama told me I was an Egyptian. My mama told me that I was a child of God. They'll remember it. God bless you today. Moms, we have such a great responsibility today. You have a great responsibility. God bless you.
We want to thank you again for joining us on the Truth Chapel podcast. May you have a blessed day and walk in the favor of the Lord.